Good morning. Fresh off the Peloton. I'm sure you can tell. I'm looking smoking amazing this morning, but I wanted to get out first thing this morning before Q&A to get my walk in, which I love to. Every morning, I start the day with a walk, and sometimes walking is the only exercise I'm doing, and sometimes it's where I go and listen to a podcast. I Marco Polo my accountability partner and do those things, and then I come back home and I work out. So today was, it ended up being a really long walk, and it's so funny, you know, for all of you who are moms, especially the mothers of little ones. I'm walking, and I'm just Marco Polo and Jane, telling her what I'm going to get done today and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And off in the distance, I'm like, there's this young man. That's my young man. And he is just out in nature, like so far away from home, walking and taking pictures and stuff. So it's just for all of you. It doesn't matter how old they get. There's just something weird when you see your baby tiger out of the cave doing his thing. So anyway, that was my morning. So anyway, that's what I look like I do now. I am a big believer in, I just want to say, one of the things that the coaches and I have been talking a lot about is the concept of authenticity and like how much easier it is to achieve the things you want in life when you are just being you and just letting the world think what they're going to think and always just operating from your best self and stuff. And so one of the things that I talk to a lot of my friends who are also like they do websites like I do where they help people and whatnot, how often I come in looking like complete shit and I don't care. And it's not that I don't care about your opinion. It's I care more about my goals. And I always tell them, it's not that I don't have a give a shit what anybody else thinks attitude. It's I prioritize what I think of myself first. And I know for me, being proud of myself, honoring the things that I say I'm going to do for myself. Thank you, because there's no way I'm going to be able to see without them. being able to just like I would rather, like when I think about, do I want to come home, like cut my workout short, get a shower, look amazing for the tribe and stuff. I know some of you would probably love it if I did. But in the end of the day, it's like, what am I really teaching everyone? That getting a shower and putting on makeup is more important than showing up for you or showing up for myself. You know, it's just like those things. And I'm constantly, I know you guys are always asking how I think, and I'm always trying to share with you my inner motivations behind what I do and how I, like, you know, because a lot of people really have a hard time, like, showing up in public when, you know, they've got their Keith Richards kiss makeup working. As you can tell, I don't do the most amazing job of getting my waterproof off every night. And just not, you know, presenting as you normally would. I think it's just one of those things where, you know, I've just for years thought about, in the end, who do I want to be? And I would rather be someone who says, like, when you tell me I'm running short on time, what should I do? Like, evaluate what's most important and do those things. Don't do stuff because of your fear of what other people are going to think about you. Do stuff because you honor your own opinion of yourself first. And then other people, I was actually coaching, I don't know if it was Kathy. Last night, basically, I have a small group of people within the tribe, the mentors and stuff that I'm working with right now, just to kind of help them stay sharp on their skills. And all the coaches last night wanted to get coached in this call. And usually the coaches, like, this was Kathy's first ever live coaching call. This was Paula, who was our event coordinator, first ever live coaching call. Like, this was a big day for all of us. And one of the things that I was talking about was, you know, like, and I don't think Kathy would care that I share this story, but she was talking about Ken, and she was saying that she was going to do some things, and she was going to tell him, like, and don't you judge me when I'm doing XYZ. And I said, Kathy, what are you saying? And so, like, we coached around it, because she's trying to tell him, don't judge me, when that is impossible. The human brain is designed to judge. That's what it's supposed to do. Ken is entitled to his own thoughts and feelings, which include judging her actions. which includes if he wants his feelings to be hurt because of something she's deciding for herself, he gets to do that. He doesn't need to not do that in order for her to love him and to love herself. She doesn't have to feel bad if he chooses to feel bad. She can have compassion and understanding. And that is something I'm always trying to explain to you guys. When we talk about the model and stuff, we are not like, if somebody's judging you, like let's just say your husband is like, I am just saying, you're too overweight. Like, I'm just not attracted to you right now. I wish you would lose weight. It is not to say that you don't have to feel bad about it. But what most of you feel bad about is because whatever he says, you decide to believe it for your truth, and you don't want him to say it because you think it makes you feel bad. The only reason why it would ever feel bad is because you're agreeing with him. It's not because of what they actually say. It's really like taking a hard look at why we react the way we do. And you will go so much further in your life when you do that. It's like, if Chris said that to me, it's not that I'd be like, oh, thank God he's, you know, pointing out my thought work. I would not jump to unicorns and rainbows. But what I would do is I would be hurt like, you know, I don't want him to say that. Why? Why would I not want him to have those thoughts? Oh, because maybe it's because I don't even like me right now. And rather than focusing on him needing to change and being hurt about how he shows up and thinking that's not how a husband should be, I would rather spend my time and my energy on like, huh, no, I don't like where I'm at right now. Why am I not working on it? What do I need to be doing for me? And you put all your energy and effort there, then the next time they say it, you just have like understanding, like, yeah, I get it. You have an opinion about my weight, but guess what? I'm handling my business over here. Then you get to take pride in handling your business and you figuring it out, and you just allow them to be like, okay, duly noted. And then you can have conversations with them after that, like saying, I get what you're saying. And you don't have to remind me. I'm working on me. You can have such different conversations and such different mental energy. But what most of us do is we spend way more time wanting someone else to change, wanting someone else to be different, trying to figure out how to manipulate them into behaving in such a way that makes us feel better and all this other stuff. All the while, guess what we're not doing? A 24-hour plan and sitting in discomfort with an urge. We are using that as an honorable distraction to not have to be hungry. I want y'all to see where this shit goes awry all the time. That's why it's so much like, I just tell people all the time, I literally let anybody think anything they want about me. And I stay in my lane. Like, I got an email the other day from someone who was really upset about some stuff. And I was upset. Like, I felt shame. I felt judged. I felt these things. And rather than reacting, I allowed myself to sit there and question, you know, what do I need to be learning from this? Like, why am I feeling all of this? And in the end, I came to such an amazing conclusion. I ended up emailing the person back and ended up changing a few things. It's like, I'll tell you why I feel so much shame and judgment. It's because I can see some honesty there. And rather than me fighting it and wanting to defend my position, I decided to just allow myself to like say, is there a way to level up here? Let me work on that first. And then when I did all that, I felt so much better and was able to like, just email the person back, not from being upset and stuff, from wanting them to just understand that they've been heard. So, I mean, it's just like all that stuff. It's like we spend so much time focused outside of ourselves. We spend so much time wanting the rest of the world to conform and change and alter its trajectory in order for us to shit or get off the pot with our own goals, to do the hard work of examining why are we not doing more for ourselves. So much easier to wonder why somebody else would say what they would say than it is to sit around and figure out why I'm not doing what I told myself I would do. And I just think anytime that you can start seeing when you're stepping out of personal responsibility and then step right back into it, you are going to see so much improvement in your life across the board. It's going to transcend this weight loss gig that we're doing here, right? Weight loss is great. But the best part is when you lose the mental weight that's backing up all this weight we carry around in our body. That weight on the outside of our body is just the physical manifestation of the weight we carry on in the inside usually. And it's not even like, I know a lot of you are like, but I have a good life and all this stuff. It's not even like a lot of us don't have like, you know, told bullshit lives and trauma and all this other stuff. A lot of us, you know what the biggest bullshit mental weight we carry around is? A shitty diaper about an amazing life that we actually have. We're sitting around not even practicing gratitude. We still want people to change. Like, this is just some of the stuff we need to all be asking ourselves. Okay, so today's Q&A day. If you have a question, now's the time to populate. Betsy's going to put it over here. Let me tell you a couple of amazing things happening. So, numero uno, going to the Vegas tonight, actually. I keep saying tomorrow, but we fly out late tonight. So, be working all day, and then we are going to fly out and head to Vegas tonight. I will be doing a Vegas meetup on Sunday. It is 10 a.m. Vegas time. I will still be with you guys for the weekend motivator tomorrow. It'll be 10 a.m. West Coast, noon, Central time. So it's the same time, but this ass ain't going to the adult pool at 10 o'clock in the morning like a geek. So we like to roll in about 12:30 or 1 o'clock when some of the people have already gotten there. We like to like make our grand entrance and all that kind of stuff. So Crabtree and I have patterns that we like to do. So tomorrow I will still be with you for the weekend motivator. And I will... Does anybody have questions? I can't believe nobody. We got like 157 people in here. Ain't a damn question. Usually y'all are just like, tick, 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 tick. But if nobody has questions, we can just leave with my amazing story. Let's see. The other thing, so I will be in Vegas and then I'll be checking in the Facebook, but I plan to not work very much this weekend. My goal is, this is the first trip that we've taken since last summer. First vacation for me and Spoonie, like real good solo vacation, just the two of us. Looking forward to that. And I will be sharing some of the, if you watch the What We Eat thread, hashtag What We Eat, I will be updating, I'll probably tell y'all how many drinks I have and anything that goes down in there. And so far, my What We Eat thread has been very boring this week. I've pretty much ate these amazing Brussels sprouts that my sister-in-law made me. I'll have to get her the recipe. It's a Brussels sprout bowl. It's like really crispy roasted ones with bacon. And I told her, I was like, first, I want you to like bake them with the olive oil. Then I want you to fry them in the bacon grease with the bacon and onions. Like, I had like all these parameters. And then she does this really good shredded like Philly beef that she puts on top. And then I put some blue cheese on it. So good. And then I've had my big salad this week. So I really haven't done a lot. We didn't go out to eat this week. We hadn't planned to because we were going to Vegas. So the more exciting pieces of my What We Eat thread will be going down this weekend for all of you who want to know how I travel and all that kind of good stuff. All right, first question. I just finished the relationship series. I am struggling with changing my thoughts so I can change my feelings towards the person I'm trying to be with. Can you help? Yeah, I need to know what thoughts you're struggling with, Karen. You got to tell me some of the bullshit you're thinking. The biggest thing you have to, like, if there's one key takeaway from the relationships course is that the relationship is 100% your thoughts. Even if they change, I want you to think about this. The only thing that will actually change will be your thoughts about them. So if they started doing what it is that you want them to do, what would you be thinking? Is there always a really good question to start with? It's one of the most important things I think I've ever really done is do work around the relationships in my life and thinking about why do I want people to change? It's always because I want to feel differently about them. And I like to think like if they were displaying their best behavior and suddenly they decided to act like right out, this is exactly how I want them to be. Then you need to ask yourself, what would I be thinking if they did that? Then ask yourself, is there a way to hold those thoughts now? Is there a way to cultivate those thoughts and feelings about who they are now? Often one of the other things that really helps is dropping into perspective on them to think about, right about what they do and what your story is around why they do it, and do it from your perspective, like let it loose and judge them, then drop into their brain and be like, if I was going to explain it a different way, what is the story they're probably telling themselves as to why they're showing up this way? Most of the time with relationships, what I have found that just helps above anything else is practicing an active belief of whatever it is you think you would be thinking and feeling if they changed. Try to do that with the person that you have now. The other way is to always drop into perspective. It really helps me. Like the way that I have, like, I think done so much good work around my parents and stuff is I have gone back several times and thought about, like, what must it have been like raising me at their ages? What were they going through? What do I even, my dad, like, we barely talk. I know my dad loves me. I don't have any doubt. But for a long time, I took that the reason that we didn't talk was because he either didn't love me or I wasn't good enough or, you know, all these things. And I really just figured out that my dad just has a limited capacity to love. And it's, I looked back at his childhood and things that he went through. And it's like, it is no wonder he doesn't love hard, because he was never loved hard. He wasn't loved bad. But there was just not, like, everything was about how things looked. And my dad is not that kind of guy, so he doesn't care how anything looks. He just stays in a little lane. And then, but when I, one of the things that I always tell myself is, like, you know, when I do talk to him, like, whenever we text and stuff, he's all in. He's talking to me. But unless I make the effort, I probably won't talk to him again for 2 more years. So I just like to think about, like, I don't want to hold thing. I don't want to ever think that somebody else has to behave in order for me to feel something. If I want to love him, I just get to do that. He is not the beneficiary of it. He does, his behavior's not condoned or pardoned or excused. It's more like, no, I just get to feel good about the relationship. I get to go about my day not being weighed down around, like, oh, my parents should be better. Today I'm going to have to just stay under the covers because my parents don't meet my expectations. Like, I have freed myself from all of that drama that I created for me. And they're exactly the same. But it doesn't mean I just go up to them and be like, you're amazing. You're the best parents I ever had, or anything like that. But when I talk to them, I just don't have any animosity. It's like, literally, like, I just want to, like, I usually with my mom, it's comedy. I used to get so pissed at my mother. And now, like, she says the exact same bullshit all the time, and I just laugh and giggle. Because I have literally, like, come to the conclusion, I'm just like, that is my mother. There's only one like her. I mean, there really is. And I'm just like, I would rather think that her behavior was funny than to think it was against me or not good enough for me. And that all comes from how you decide to think about things. Okay. I'm traveling for work next week. It will be my first time without my Nutrisystem security blanket food. What are your best tips? Follow the no BS. Kristen, you have no BS. Like, hunger scale and a 24-hour plan. That's all you need. Nutrisystem is not a security blanket. This is a thought you've got to drop. Nutrisystem is food. I order my food from Nutrisystem. Next week, I'll be ordering my food from a restaurant. Like, I need you to think about that. When you're eating your Nutrisystem food, it's because it's a security blanket, and that's why you're losing weight. You know why you're losing weight? Because you've chosen to do that. You're honoring that commitment. Just like next week when you go on vacation or you travel for business, you can honor your commitment to yourself, and you can make choices that are healthy. Nutrisystem is totally irrelevant. You've made it very relevant in your life. You've allowed, this is the issue that I want you to really work on, is you've allowed Nutrisystem to have all the credit for your weight loss. You're like, it's all because of you, Nutrisystem. Without you, who would I be? Guys, y'all don't even need to use me and PNP that way at all. Because then you're hosed. If I die or our videos get erased, or I hope to God you're subscribed to the podcast, because iTunes is taking the podcast down. So all these people who don't join and stuff, they may not have a podcast for a while. Trust me, we're working on it, but I don't own Apple. Ain't nothing I can do for Apple. So the public podcast, sorry, Charlie, they won't be getting updates. You are the lucky one. You know, I always tell you guys, oh my God, y'all are the lucky ones. Y'all think you're the lucky ones because you're in the tribe and you get all this stuff. And like, no, you're really the lucky ones now, because them bitches are on their own. On their own. At least you got me. But one of the things I want you to do is I want you to think about all of you. When you're losing your weight, I want you to take credit that whether it is, I don't care if you're counting calories, Weight Watchers, PNP, keto, Nutrisystem, whoever, do not give them the credit. If you're following something, it's because you made a decision to do it. There are just as many people who do Nutrisystem that fall flat on their face because they will order the food and they still will not choose to do it. So the first thing to do is just to take ownership as to why you're losing. It has nothing to do with Nutrisystem. It is not a security blanket. Your security blanket relies in your head. That's where it is. You're making that choice. So next week when you go on vacation, I want you to make the choice that wherever you go, this is my Nutrisystem. What would they give me? This is my PNP. What would they give me? What is the choice I need to make here? And that's all you got to do. I'm starting to get really nervous about weighing in tomorrow. What's the best advice? Weigh in and do the Hello Scale worksheet. Seriously. The first thing I would do is I would sit there and have a thought of, this is only a reflection of my actions this week. That's all the scale is. It's a reflection of the past 7 days and the way I showed up. If you're nervous, ask yourself, what am I thinking that's causing me to feel nervous right now? It could be something like, I didn't do enough, or I'm worried, like maybe you had an overeat or something like that. The thing to just decide is that actions are where we always want to focus our number. If you get, like, I don't care what your number is. You could gain, maintain, or lose. I always want you guys to hold on to the same thought. Like, my thought is always, this number is telling me to look back and investigate to prove what this number says. So if I'm up, like, one day I was, I don't know what happened, but I was down like, I'm never down a lot of weight. So I was down like 3.5 pounds. I was like, hell yeah. So I start looking back and I did notice a couple of things. It's a little hotter here. I had been like in California, I'd come off my period. So I kind of noticed all that. And then the next day I was like up 3.5. I was like, what the hell? And so I just looked back and I was like, oh, I'm like rehydrated and all this other stuff. So it's like moving in and out of the idea that like the scale means that you are bad, or you are good, or you are anything. The scale number is a reflection of the process that you're doing. And like, if it's losing, and this is my best advice for all of you, no matter what, every week when you weigh in, look at the behaviors and the actions that you did to prove this number, to find patterns for the number, to level up, to put on rinse and repeat. That is the strongest standpoint you'll ever be in, because you can't control the scale. Now, we can do behaviors that are going to, over time, the trend will be down, that will influence the scale. But if you're going to lose weight, I don't care if you need to lose 5 pounds or, you know, 150 pounds, it does not matter. That number is very irrelevant. The trend will always be up, down, up, down, up, down throughout the course of it. That is just the way the body works. So unless you're going to somehow morph into another human being and change physiology, you know, good luck to you. But one of the things that you have to realize is that's like normal. And so you want to be able to like be like, instead of putting all of my energy and effort into what the number is, put all your energy and effort into celebrating, investigating, and being curious about the actions that drive that number over time. And I did that when I was losing weight, because I had been like a slave to the scale for a long time back in the day. And when I was losing weight, I would hit these normal patches of, you know, sometimes weeks that I just didn't lose anything. Like I would lose a pound, gain two, lose two, up two, like just, you know, stay in this one range. And my body would do that for a period of weeks, and then it would drop weight again, as long as I stayed consistent with how I showed up. What most of us do is we go through these normal periods where the body is like just doing some stuff on the inside that doesn't make emotional sense. But if you were to look at it intellectually, it would make all the intellectual sense in the world. And what we do is we get pissed and frustrated, and then we eat like an asshole. And so we either like, fuck it, I'm going out to eat tonight, and I'm having all the food, because that's for sure going to fix when I gain weight. Said no one ever. Well, says everyone every time, and never works ever. Or we just, throughout the next week, we have this low-level anxiety about it, and we're grab-assing from this idea of, well, you know, I didn't really lose last week anyway. Might as well just have a little bite. And so we do that. When if you are so focused on the number being the end-all, be-all, you forget about the most important thing, which is the actions that drive the result. The action line, action line, action line. So stay focused there. What are the hunger challenges only in Wednesdays? Are the hunger challenges only in Wednesdays? So we're having a hunger skill challenge week next week. We do this periodically. We do it at least once during a newbie cycle. So everybody in the tribe goes through the hunger skill challenge next week. On Wednesdays, we just do one every Wednesday, so everybody can pick a different one and they get the opportunity to practice pushing hunger a little bit on a Wednesday to see if their hunger cues have changed and stuff like that. How did you start incorporating healthy food? I'm afraid to try. One at a time. Literally, like one at a time. Pick tomato this week. Like, seriously, just pick cucumber. Pick something. And then whatever you're eating, put that shit on the side. And you got to do like every, like my child, like it was always a two-bite rule with Logan. It's like, I don't care if you like it or not. And you don't even have to finish it. But you got to take two bites. Like, you got to eat a bite. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But you got to go for the second one. A lot of times the tongue, if you haven't been eating healthy food, it's not adaptive. That first bite is going to taste worse than the second bite. So you want to make sure you give it a second bite chance. If you're super interested in weight loss, eat 3 to 4 and don't act like a toddler. That's what I always tell people. I'm like, y'all can make frowny faces and act like a crazy person all you want, but that's exactly what a 3-year-old does too. And it's like, last time I checked, we're all grown-ass fucking women here. No vegetable has ever killed us. So eating 4 bites of a vegetable in order to see, can I start including things that are going to help me lose all my weight? It's like, do you want to have like a sour taste in your mouth for like 4 bites until you start adapting your palate? Or do you want to have a sour taste in your mouth every time you have to step on the scale and put on your pants? You get to choose when that discomfort comes in. So the one thing that I did when I was eating healthy, because, oh, Lord, help me, I didn't like a lot of healthy foods. I used to eat salads, but I didn't put a lot of vegetables in it. My salads were mainly more consistent of cheese, egg, like all the, like, macaroni salad. Like, for some reason, macaroni salad was part of salad, like, Jell-O. Like, I used to go to the Shoney's, and, like, my salads always consisted of some Jell-O and macaroni salad, like, some iceberg, a lot of cheese, a lot of egg, a lot of bacon. You know, that kind of thing. But I was having a salad. So one of the things that I would do is pick one a week, eat it a few times. The thing you need to know for all you non-healthy eaters, the ones that have been eating processed food a lot for your entire life, the nice thing about the tongue is that until the day you die, it is the most adaptive and fast adaptive muscle in your body. Your taste buds, they regenerate like a boss all the time. So if you think you don't like the taste of things, it is only because they've adapted to the things you've ate. It doesn't mean that it won't like vegetables. So if you will just try something and then keep at it, like have a goal of trying something, like pick a vegetable or two that you're going to include this week. I don't care if you get a small can of green beans at the store. And just like, you know what? Every day we'll open a damn can of green beans. They're going to be on the plate. I'm going to take a few bites. And that's how I'm getting started. Do whatever you need to do, but do that. Sometimes starting with fruit for my non-healthy eaters is a lot easier because it's got like that natural sugar in it. So it's going to be a little bit more palatable. But just picking some things and including it. Include vegetables before you start taking away things. And then the next big hack is like, once you've included a few things, like, okay, well, I'm eating this with this. Is post in the tribe and say, like, here's some of the things that I eat now that I know need to get healthied up. Who likes this and what are ways that I can change it? That has always been a big one too. Like for me, I remember when I used to love like spaghetti, pasta and that kind of stuff. And I remember when I would, I started doing noodles. And I would do like half noodles and I would steam either broccoli or some kind of a vegetable. And I would put
some of that in the noodles and then cover it with all my marinara and cheese. And then I would eat that. That way I was getting an extra vegetable in, but I was still getting my pasta. And like, it just, it like, I didn't, like, I noticed it, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I went from eating pasta to just eating a fucking stalk of broccoli. You know, there's like, there's some gray that we can do. I need a kick in the ass. I've been sick with a bad head cold all week. I don't know why you need a kick in the ass with a head cold. I'm doing the four basics and my plans have been realistic, but what I've been eating is not going to help me reach my weight loss goals. Okay, pity party's over, Michelle. If you want to feel better and get rid of your head cold, let's get back on plan. There's your kick in the ass. That's literally the only thing that has to change. Quit using your head cold as an excuse to eat like an asshole. It's like, do you want to get better or not? The fastest way to get better. It's like, I'm all about when we're sick, guys, eating what's palatable and all that kind of stuff. I do the same thing, but I don't use it as an excuse to go to Burger King. Now, I may not be eating salads every day and stuff, but I don't use it against myself. So it's just like at this point, you just need to say like, am I at the point now where I'm just eating like a donkey? If I am, it's just time to get back on a realistic plan. What is that going to be today? What's the realistic plan going to be today? And just start. I know you guys always want these like magic thoughts and everything. So much of it, the magic thought is, it's just time to get started. It won't be as hard as I think it's going to be. I tell myself that all the time. It's not going to be near as hard as I'm making it out to be. It's just going to be eating what's on the plan. And don't make the plan miserable. And then it's really easy to get started. I'm working on fogging, especially when I'm preparing my on-plan meals. It's total mindless eating. Any advice? Especially when I'm preparing. Yeah, like here we go. Get you a little plate. I don't know what that was. Get a little plate where all your grab ass is going to go down, okay? So when you are making your healthy meals, I want all the grab ass bites to go there. And then when you're ready to be done, you get to have all your grab ass if you want it, but you're going to sit down and eat it with a plate. So having the plate out as a visual is often, like, you'll still probably take a couple of accidental bites because fog eating is like one of those things we just grab and we're like, oh shit, I did it again. You need to like have that visual out and then you put it on the plate and then you have to sit down at the table and do it. Do that every single time. I'm going to tell you, the majority of you, if you actually see the grab asses on a plate, are not going to be like, oh, I really need to have that. The majority of you are going to look at the plate and be like, that is some bullshit that I do. And you're not going to eat it. So that's what I would do. And then if you want to keep gum in your mouth, it's really hard to grab ass food when you're food prepping while you've got a piece of gum in your mouth. It's going to taste like shit. It's just like one of those things that makes you stop. I'm a January baby who's down 16 pounds and then I stalled. Had an overeat yesterday. So that's not a stall. Okay, I want everybody to be really honest. If you're stalled, a stall is I don't lose weight for 4 to 6 weeks and I'm completely on plan. I'm not grab-assing. I'm not binging. I'm not overeating. And guys, this is uber important. You have to quit lying to yourself. A stall means I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. So now I really need to look at it because something's not working. Overeating is something we need to work on. That's not a stall. It's just important to get your vernacular straight. My brain doesn't know what to eat today. Your brain does know what to eat today. I'll tell you what, don't eat anything. How about that? I'll solve the problem for you. Since I don't know what you have in your kitchen, and I don't know what's going on in your life, today just don't eat. No food whatsoever. Now let's see if your brain can come up with, well, if I could eat this. We always know what to eat. The only reason why you don't know what to eat is because I'm fearful of going above a +2. Do I just need to level up? No, you need to fucking eat and quit telling yourself you don't know what to do. We don't need to do all this other bullshit. You're creating confusion because you're afraid that you're going to overeat. Here's what you need to do. I am going to sit down and eat undistracted today. And when I get halfway through my plate, I'm going to stop. Because I am going to pay really close attention to my +2 today. That, rather than sitting around being, I'm so afraid of my +2. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh my God, I don't even know what to put on my plan today. Like, When you catch yourselves, guys, being ridiculous, poor Beth, she's like, I don't know if I should ask this question. But when you catch yourself being ridiculous, I want you to sit there and think. If your child or your husband came up to you and said, oh my God, like I had this overeat yesterday and I'm just telling you, I don't know. I don't know what to eat today. I'm so terrified I might overeat again. Like if they walked up to you and had that conversation, would you just be like, I feel your pain? Or would you say like, here, let's start with what's in the kitchen. Like, sometimes what we have to do, and this is a really good question, Beth, but in this case, like if I'm on my own and I didn't have Corinne to like bitch at me on a Q&A, I would write the crazy that I'm saying to myself. I would like literally do it as a thought download. The reason why I'm scared today is because of these things. I'm asking myself these questions. Like I really don't know what to eat. Then on the next page, I'd be like, if I had to solve my fear, here's always a really good question, guys. If I wasn't afraid, what would I do? I think that that is one of the best questions when you guys are afraid. Like when I'm going on a trip, like I'm afraid I'm going to overeat on my trip. I'm afraid I'm going to overeat today because I had a binge yesterday. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of weighing in. If I wasn't afraid, what would I be doing? Is always in a magic question. And your brain will go to work on it. And it will probably tell you exactly what you need to be doing. And then you just do that. Whether it's right or wrong, just do that. One, it gets you out of confusion and it gets you out of ignorance, right? You start like saying, well, I'm just going to do this. It makes you make a decision. So if you write that, then you just decide this is the advice I'm taking. And here's what I know. It'll either work or it won't work. Sitting around being confused for fuck sure doesn't work. So now I have a 50-50 chance of something working. And I'm just going to tell y'all a secret. Usually, 99% of the time, whatever it is that if you weren't afraid you'd be doing works really well. And 1% of the time, it needs a little level up. It's not a like a shit show. Most of you think it's a shit show. And it's like, no. Whenever you're taking action means just making a decision and doing something, whether it's right or wrong. Whenever you're taking action, you're succeeding. One, because you're learning. Two, because you're doing things, you're trying things, you're stumbling upon the things that will work. Every now and then something doesn't work, but it doesn't become the end of the world anymore because you get so used to trying things. What never works is confusion and fear. Never. Confusion and fear leads to inaction. You're not doing anything. You're sitting around. You're stewing. You're Pinteresting. You're Googling. You're thinking. You're watching the Facebook group, reading what everybody else is doing. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, they're all slaying. Here I am. Like, I don't even know what to eat today. I don't know what's going on. That feels productive. Let me tell you this. It doesn't even feel productive. You know what that feels? Exhausting. And when we feel exhausted, we think we've done something. But the problem is that when we feel exhausted from that, it produces no results. So that's how we know we're not producing. Producing is going in there and saying, if I wasn't afraid, and I wasn't worried, what are some of the things I'd be doing today? Like I would just make a 24-hour plan and get my ass started on it, and I'd quit worrying. Only time will tell today if I'm going to eat to a plus two. If I'm worried that I'm not going to eat to my plus two, what could I be doing? If I wasn't afraid of that, how would I make sure my next meal that I was really aware? Like that is where your brain goes when you start challenging it to get out of the shit show and into being on stage for your results. Any tips for those who work retail? Often when I'm sent on break, I'm not at a negative two, and then I find myself eating when I shouldn't be or wanting, and then I get to a negative eight when I get home. I work late night shifts, so I get home around 12:31. You could just have a snack. You don't have to eat to a plus two, but if I worked in retail, it's like, you know, there's a lot of days here, like I don't even work retail and my kitchen is downstairs. There's some days of the week that I get up in the morning at 5 and I don't even get my first meal till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just because like, if you have to be like pushing play and being on all day long, you know, you're not going to be, I can't just go downstairs and eat and then be burping and shit throughout a video. So a lot of times I don't even do it. But if I had like a 15-minute break and I knew that I couldn't eat again for 8 more hours, but I'm just not quite hungry yet, like, I would either, one, challenge myself to, like, okay, I'm just going to, like, be at a negative 8 when I get home, and I'm still going to eat sensibly. Or I would say, like, I'll have a snack. I'll just eat something here. I would rather you just be on a plan, just say, like, all right, every day, here's the small meal I eat. I'm never really hungry for it, but I'm going to have it. And then I'm going to have a small meal when I get home. And that is what it looks like for me in my life. That's fine. You can do that. Just don't eat past the 2. That's the big thing. I'm starting to think that I don't want to actually lose my weight. I have indicated that eating is more important than my weight loss. I don't know what to do next. Give up and accept my reality or keep trying. If you don't want to lose weight, don't lose weight. I would be asking myself the question of why is my eating more important than weight loss? And like your reasons. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Guys, we don't all have to lose weight. But you need to like your reasons behind why your eating is more important. Like, if you're like, you know, I'm just not interested in weight loss right now. I've got, you know, things I'm doing. Like, I know you're getting this YouTube channel up. I'm doing all these things. And right now, like, I really don't want to be losing weight. What I really want to do is I want food to be easy for me and stuff. But here's the thing. Don't say that food's more important and say it's more important because there's so much stress over here. Like, I just really need it. Then here's what I would say. Let's just change out the word food for cocaine. Well, I'm not really interested in giving up my coke habit right now because, you know, I'm like building a business. And when I'm stressed, I'm really going to need to snort a line. If that sounds ridiculous, Amica. Here's the thing. You said, I'm starting to think I don't want to actually lose my weight. Ask yourself, do I want to, you just said, now I want to lose weight. Be honest with yourself. Do you want to lose weight or not? Yes or no? And if you say yes, there's no going back for 6 months. None. Anytime in the next 6 months that you decide you don't want to lose weight, you need to question yourself. I would question yourself right now, just because we've coached on this before. Is it that you're not interested in weight loss? Or it's like, I'm tired of trying. So now I'm going to convince myself I'm not interested in weight loss. I want to keep using my food to be a convenient distraction from thinking about risk and thinking about what other people think and stuff. There's a big difference. This is why you have to, like if you don't want to lose weight, if you, like, put your number, this is how much I weigh today, in your circumstance line, and what are your thoughts on it? For some of you, if your thoughts are, this is a good weight for me, this weight will be great while I'm doing these other things. I can maintain this easily while I'm building my YouTube channel. If that's the case, that's one thing. But if we have thoughts about our weight of, this number sucks, it's too hard to lose weight, I don't want to be here and stuff, that is not that you don't want to lose weight. It's, I don't want to do what's required to lose weight, which is very different. And before you, like, one of the things that I want you to think about is, what are you making it mean? Like, what is required for you to lose weight? For so many of you, you want weight loss so bad, but what you are worried about will happen, what you have to do in order to lose weight, is such a terrible description, you will never choose it. Especially in the moments when life's hard, you're not going to choose the shit show of a description you have of what is required to lose weight. You will never choose, if you think an urge is going to be so intolerable, so all these things, because you keep practicing bullshit around urges, you will never say no to an urge. Because in your mind, it's misery to say no. What if it's not? What is the easiest way to sit with urges? Some of you just need to, like, believe harder in yourselves. Like, I need to quit making myself be a helpless victim to myself. The majority of us in here, I'm going to tell you right now, there's hardly any women who are in this tribe right now. I would say 1% of the women in this tribe are actually being victimized right now by outside forces. 99% of us are our worst abusers. We are victimizing ourselves with our past, with our belief in ourselves, with allowing other people's judgments to become our own opinions. We sit around all day long being the worst abusers of ourselves. It's like, if we can stop doing that part, I'm going to tell you, you could probably say no to an urge sometimes. Oh my God, my husband is changing and working hard on being sober. Oh, that's nice. He's in AA and started an outpatient rehab. Now I'm struggling with him sharing with other people and not me. Modeled the shit out of this, but still coming up short. Let's take this one to Ask Coaches, Jackie. This is a good one. Like, I would put those models in Ask Coaches for reals. And maybe even get on one of the office hours, because this is a good one. But I would be curious, why... Here, let me just offer you a thought. This is a lot easier on Q&A. My husband is sharing with other people. My husband is talking about his sobriety and whatnot with other people. Your thought could be, and then maybe he's not talking to you about it now. What if your thought is, he doesn't want to burden me? Maybe his thought, or like when we think about, as I was talking about earlier, with the other person with the relationship and stuff, I want you to think about his perspective. And maybe he has felt guilt or shame around burdening you with his drinking. And now he doesn't want to put that on you. Maybe he's just trying to give you some relief. Could be anything. But what I want your brain to go to work on is, what could I make it mean other than he's not sharing with me when he talks to other people? What are the 10 to 15 other things I could be thinking about in this situation? What could he possibly, what is the story he's telling himself? What is the story I could be telling myself? We know the one you're telling yourself right now. He's not sharing with me. And then I would ask myself too on that one, if you want to dig deeper, what do I make it mean that he's not sharing with me? And think about that. I came home and found myself grab-assing. Once was two cookies. Recovery sheets done. With the cookie episode, I cannot honestly say what emotions I was feeling. Probably desire. What were my thoughts? Is this common in the zone and still grab-ass? What am I missing? A lot of times when it comes to grab-assing, when we talk about grab-assing, that's just like eating things really fast and stuff. It's usually just because I want that. Desire. Boom. Eat. That's usually all it is. It's just understanding, you want to do these recovery worksheets and stuff, and you want to understand oh, it was two cookies and stuff. The more you do all that and you visualize yourself doing something different, what happens is your future episodes of overeating become slowed down. So it happened fast in this time, right? It's oh, I was eating two cookies. I was just eating and didn't even realize, I didn't even think about it, right? We always think about it, but sometimes it's just happening in the nanosecond. And what we want to do is we want to do the recovery worksheets, understand where I was standing, what time it was, anything that you can parcel out. And then the next time you see two cookies, your brain remembers the last time I grabbed two. And you get an extra nanosecond to think about it. It may take 10 recovery worksheets around that same scenario, and over the 10, the time where you get to decide what to do gets longer and longer and longer and longer, and the awareness level keeps rising, 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 until eventually it's one day it's oh my God, I keep eating these cookies. I should probably move them. Rather than cookies. Oh shit. That is the purpose. I think a lot of you think you're going to do a recovery worksheet, uncover a skeleton, and then all things will be changed. I'll never overeat again. That is not how it works. Here's how it works. Recovery worksheet, may or may not discover something, but I at least find some patterns. My brain goes to work on how it could have been different. The entire experience is slowed down in my brain where it's had to think about it. My brain learns that when I overeat, there's a lot of work involved in that. It's not just fun and games anymore, is it? I don't get to just eat cookies and go about my day. Your brain does all of that process. Then over time, your brain is oh my God, are we seriously going to eat a cookie? Because you always do these long-ass worksheets and they're never fun. And then you're I am not doing worksheets over two cookies. Today, I say no. Today, I actually noticed I want the cookies because I've wrote about them so much. I know that when I see cookies now, I usually want to grab a couple. That's how it works. So what I teach you guys, what most diets are teaching you, is how to willpower and white knuckle yourself into saying no. Like, we're just not having that. And that's how it is. And follow the plan. And that's like really all you get. Like, here's your plan. All your problems should be solved, correct? What I teach you is like, I'm not giving you a plan, but you're going to create one. And you're going to go in there and you're going to do all the same bullshit you normally do with these other plans. Except we're going to learn how to start noticing the bullshit. And then we're going to like start unraveling the bullshit. And then we're going to change the bullshit behaviors. It is a slower process. And a lot of you, God love you, but you give up on yourself before you even let the process start working because you just want an immediate result. And the problem is you rejoin the tribe after a year because you quit the first go around. And now you're like, now I see the magic behind everything. Oh, it's not supposed to happen overnight. I now get what you mean that we're losing this for life. I get what you mean that we're going to do this in a way that we can do it forever. We're not quick resulting. It's like, no matter how many times I tell you guys before you sign up that that's not what we're doing, you all come in here and be like, but I did those videos like once and I did like 3 24-hour plans, Corinne, and didn't follow them. I don't know what's going on. Y'all give me like 3 months of real effort of just doing plans and fucking them up. And let me just tell you, like the best thing you guys will ever learn is if you will keep doing 24-hour plans and not following them and showing back up when you don't want to and overcoming your self-judgment and shutting it down, oh my God, what you learn is so powerful. It is so empowering. But you have to go through the fire of learning how to be like, I'm starting. I'm hating on myself. I got to learn how not to hate myself. Now I keep going and I've learned that hating on myself never has a good payoff. And the magic starts happening. Like, I can't even explain to you guys the levels of things you learn through the four basics. The reason why I created this plan the way I did is because I don't want you just learning what to eat. I want you to learn how to plan, learn how to commit, learn how to show back up, learn how to avoid quitting, learn how to be super uncomfortable when you're self-judging yourself and having all this shame, and learn how to turn that off, learn how to become a good friend to yourself. Like, we are learning all of those things by writing down a 24-hour plan and doing an assessment, realistically planning, and showing up for it every single day, whether we want to or not. It is the skill and art of saying, this is what I want most in the world. This is what I want to be doing for myself. And then every time I don't want to do it because it's going to be hard, I do it anyway. That does not always mean amaka. It does not always mean that it is you following a 24-hour plan perfectly. Very often it means you're doing a recovery worksheet. Very often it means that on day 17, when you still don't have a 24-hour plan that's followed perfectly, that you show up for day 18 when everything in you told you to quit, when you were worried about what everybody else was thinking, the day that you learn how to choose your future self over that immediate relief of quitting because of self-judgment, outside judgment, and all the things. And when you guys start really learning how to do that, then you start asking for more help. And then you start asking for yourself to be like, you know what, today, let's just have one good plan. Let's really embrace this realistic plan. Let's have one day we do everything we say we will do for ourselves. And then you start feeling the relief of like, wow, it does feel good to do the things I say I'm going to do. And now I can start asking more of myself. Because here's the thing, you have practiced that whole time of asking more of yourself. You just didn't give yourself any credit for it. And now we get to give ourselves credit for it. I'm trying to stop eating after dinner. Should I still plan for snacks or just do a recovery sheet if I eat off plan? You can do it either way. neither way is right or wrong. So if you want to plan for a snack, just make sure that's all you eat. Or if you want to plan to have none, then you don't have any. What I would do is I would err on the side of planning exactly what it is you're going to want to have after dinner, and then decide, do I want it tonight? That's how probably I would do it. What should I say to myself instead of weight loss is slow for me? I would just say, weight loss is happening. I lose weight. You don't have to put slow in there as an indicator. I've been working through the relationships course. We've already done this one. Let's see. Around a certain person, does this person actually love me is the thought I've created. That's a question. So you need to answer it. Do they love you? You get to decide that. You don't have to ask them. I can make anybody at their worst moment, like even my douchebaggery of an ex-husband who cheated on me like it was a sport, one of which was with my best friend. When I go back, I know he loved me, just had a shitty way of doing it. I've created this. I know I just, their past actions and things they have said to me assisted in its creation. No, it did not. They had, but like, this is the thing. Their actions and stuff can't assist your thoughts. Do not give away your responsibility of your thinking. You're wanting this person who you think doesn't even love you to be now responsible for your own thinking. No, it don't work that way. You still a grown-ass woman like the rest of us. I don't let nobody under 18 in here, so we're all GAW here. This is the thing. You were always responsible for every thought you created. You get to decide if they loved you or not. And if you're going to decide they don't love me based upon what they said and stuff, take ownership that that was the decision you made. This had nothing to do with what they said. It's always about your thoughts. Always and forever, y'all. I know this. Nah, I just don't know how I continue to work without creating a false relationship that feels inauthentic. You need to find, like, the first thought you need to have is this relationship, whether I'm using thoughts I believe or not, is still authentic because it's all existing in my own brain. Whatever you're doing exists in your brain. You have to decide what you want to think about this person. I have a certain time every day of really intense urges. I overeat at this time about 75% of the day. Should I be focused on sitting through the urge or planning the binge foods in limited quantities? I wouldn't do it in limited. Here's what I do. Let's, Betty took Katie up with some planned binging. Here's how I always address this. You're going to plan it, and we're not doing limited quantities. That's all that's saying is, like, I'm giving myself a green light to eat when I don't want to eat. Here's what I would do. Plan that shit exactly as you do it. And then you sit with it at a table, and you do it with your eyes wide open. We do not do it, like, half-ass and smoke and mirrors and limited quantities so we don't really see what we're doing. We want to do it like we would normally do it. And then you decide, like, when you look at all the food, do I want this or not? Sometimes people will eat it. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes people eat it just to see how shitty they actually really feel when they eat it consciously. The whole point is, let's do it consciously. Betsy, hook her up with one of the calls on that, and then let's put that in the show notes for this one. I'm having a really hard time with urges at bedtime. It's urge day. I've mentioned my meds before. At bedtime, even if I go right to sleep after I take them, I wake up and crave sugar. Is there something else I can try? Try having some fat with whatever. Here's what I would do. I would probably just plan to have a small fat type snack. I don't care if you eat a pat of butter. Like, seriously, it needs to be something really boring, but try doing that to see if it will offset some of the sugar cravings, since this is a medical thing. Why does giving ourselves credit seem so unnatural? Because we're not taught to do it. We're just not taught to do it. A lot of us just aren't. Some of us are. Some of us have parents that taught us how to take, you know, like, all kinds of credit for ourselves and stuff. Most of us weren't. Most of us were told, we were never really taught to take credit for how we show up in the world. We were always accoladed for grades or things like that. But no one really ever was, like, talking to us about taking pride in just how we show up as a person in the world. So it's just, we're just not taught. That's why it seems so unnatural, and that's okay. Just because it seems unnatural doesn't mean it can't become natural. I was never taught to take credit for myself. In fact, I had really low self-esteem and really hard times with just my, I just had a lot of hard times with judgment and all that kind of stuff for a long time. So y'all know me. I'm pretty fucking proud of myself all the time now. If I can do it, you can too. Can you help me understand the difference between allowing an urge and white knuckling through them, please? Vicky, yesterday, Betsy, can you go through the comments yesterday? Look at my comments. I gave a really good description yesterday, and somebody posted this question yesterday in the Facebook group. Let's copy that into the show notes. But essentially, Vicky, white knuckling is arguing like this shouldn't be happening. I don't want this. I'm going to cave. If this lasts much longer, I can't handle it. It's being a baby about it. It's wanting it to go away. It's watching the time. It's basically having, like, it feels exhausting. That would be white knuckling. I can't have this. This is so unfair. I don't know how, like, is this going to have to happen forever? Like, it's a lot of mental drama. For me, allowing an urge is like, I feel it coming, and I do my 90-second countdown. I very often will tell myself, like, this is the worst it's going to get. And I will sit and I will think about how I'm feeling in my body. Like, I will look for physical sensations. I put my brain to work on doing something rather than putting my brain to work on the arguing and the, like, exhausting part of it. That's resisting and white knuckling. Because urges are always going to come. I never go to the grocery store or go out to eat or something where I don't see a hamburger or I don't see cake. Urges are all around us all the time. Sometimes we just dismiss them. I want you to think about times when you have dismissed an urge where it was just like you noticed something, you wanted it, and you told yourself you weren't having it. And it may be because you were at work and somebody brought stuff in and you didn't have time. That was a dismissed urge. And it was as passive as that. But sometimes what I do is I have to think about, like, what are the feelings I'm experiencing in my body? And then I tell myself, this is as bad as it's going to get. Like, that, this is the urge. What I'm actually feeling in my body is what's going on. It's not deprivation. It's not, you know, I can't handle it or anything like that. This is just what's happening. Sometimes I do that. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll just tell myself, like, I'll think about, this is worth it. It's worth it. This is when it's nice to have a compelling reason. And I'm just like, these feelings, because a lot of you, what you say, these feelings are intolerable. These, like, you go to the immediate suckitude of what's happening. You don't even give your brain a chance to think about why it's worth it. And very often you need a list. And for a lot of you, you need to write when you're having urges, especially if you're new to them, and say things like, it's worth it because tomorrow I'll be proud. And it's worth it. Like, come up with, like, what are the 20 reasons why sitting here will be worth it? Rather than the 20 reasons why this sucks ass and why I wish it would go away. That's kind of the difference between white knuckling and just sitting. What mentally do I tell myself to get over my fear of gaining weight since I cannot exercise? This is an easy one. Exercise has nothing to do with weight loss. I've told y'all this 1,001 times. It's why there's no exercise course at all inside of the No BS. Your exercise has jack shit to do with your weight loss. Your mouth always controls it. Always. Now, if you're giving credit to exercise mentally, that's something we need to work on. Because even when you're exercising, guess what? It ain't doing it. I know a lot of people that train for ultra sports who are overweight because they can out eat what they do in the gym. It's quite easy. Majority of people that will do a half marathon will gain weight. And they will be every Saturday burning off 1,300 plus calories in a workout. One cheeseburger with, like, a Diet Coke and a small order of fries blows that extra 13 miles out of the water. So don't ever allow yourself to believe for a hot second that your exercise has a fucking thing to do with your weight loss. You know what it has to do with your weight loss? If you're sitting there thinking, I worked out really hard today, I want to eat healthy, that's not the workout. Don't give it credit. It's not like Nutrisystem. Give yourself credit. You're choosing to prioritize your weight loss. That was a thought. So think about this. When you're exercising, what thoughts do you have around your food? You use those when you're not exercising. And that's the end of the story on that one. I'm on the comparison and jealousy struggle bus right now. How can I change my thoughts around this? I see others living out what I want, and I'm just not there yet. I always tell myself, if I see somebody living the way I want, time to take notes. No shit. It's time to, like, take notes. I tell myself, get over yourself. Do you want to sit in jealousy, or do you want to get fucking busy and get some success? There's a couple of options. I'm going to tell you, when I was losing weight, I had friends that I took notes. I had a girlfriend that ran. I had a brother-in-law that did Ironmans. I had another girlfriend who'd always been thin and was buff as fucking bullshit. You know what I did? Took notes. Asked questions. Got off my ass. If I was you, I would get off the struggle bus and get out a pen. That's what you need to be doing. In business, I have people all the time doing way better than me, and I don't sit around going, You know what I do? Take notes. What are they thinking? What the hell are they doing and thinking that I'm not? And let's do some of that. Because whatever I got going on right now is some fucking baby ass shit in a diaper. That's what I've got going on. I am so truthful with myself, guys. Like, and it is not judgment and shame. It is motivating for me to tell myself, Craig, get off your ass. You're so much better than this. I tell myself that all the time. All of you need to do that. You need to just tell yourself, not only am I better than this, I deserve better than this. And there's only one person who's going to, like, be deserving, and that's going to be me. Like, I am the one who's going to make the deserving happen. That is all on me, and that is not on someone else. And the moment I catch myself hating on someone else for their success, jealous of their success, I'm like, thank you, Corinne. You have just set up the bat signal that I need to get to work. Because that's all it is. But this is what most of you will do. You will sit around and you will throw shade arrows all in your brain, and you will use that as a convenient distraction, because you know what you don't want to do? Do the work they're doing. You have your excuses. You've got your wubbies, your reasons why. Like, well, it's my age. Well, it's my husband. It's my busy life. Like, she's on Facebook all the time. She sure as hell doesn't. She's not as busy as me. You will come up with your king ding dong excuse, and whatever that is the bullshit you say to not lose weight. That person who's posting their success and triggering that in you has given you a gift. They've given you the gift of your own awareness. There are excuses I am making right now, and I need to know these excuses, because they are the only thing standing in the way of me losing weight right now. They're the, like, if you guys are wanting to get a promotion, I coach so many on you on your jobs. When you're sitting around in jealousy and disdain and all this other stuff about somebody else, take notes as to how they're showing up. I guarantee they're not sitting around comparing and despairing. You know what they're doing? Figuring out how to be better than you. That's exactly what they're doing. They're sitting around thinking, like, I'm fixing to be the best one in here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm showing up like somebody who actually gives a fuck about this job. That's usually what's going on. But you spend so much time waiting for everything to be fair, and waiting for your boss to tell you exactly what to do, and waiting for the world to clear the way so that you can be great, that you ain't doing jack shit to be great. You are humbling yourself to a dirty diaper. And that shit has to stop. What about getting rid of weighing in? I don't like it. The only reason why people ever want to get rid of weighing in is because they want to take the lazy ass way out of changing their thoughts around weighing in. I would rather weigh in and have shitty thoughts come up and know the thoughts that I need to work on than to be like, you know what, I'm just going to quit this whole weighing in thing. It is no different than saying, well, you know, I can't handle myself around food, so I'm going to clean out my pantry. You know what else I can't handle? I can't handle seeing other people's success, so I'm just going to quit this P&P. It's like, oh my God, you're seeing someone else's success and you want to quit the place where success is happening. Think about what you're doing to yourselves, guys. Same thing with weighing in. Like, that number never hurts you. That number is to catapult you. It's a weekly reminder to look at your actions. That's all it is. Why quit the weekly reminder? The only reason why you would quit is because, like, I'm too fucking lazy to work on my thoughts. You know what I want? I just want everything to be so easy. It's like, if you want it to be easy, make it easy on yourself by changing how you think. That's the surefire, quickest way to making things easy. Here's the other thing I want you guys to think about. Like, if weight loss didn't, this is going to be in the podcast soon, if the podcast comes back up. And if it doesn't, we'll just release these things into the tribe since we've already recorded them. If weight loss didn't have to be easy and a surefire thing, what would you be doing? If you weren't waiting around for weighing in to be easy, what would you be doing? If you weren't waiting around for other people, I guess, to have no success and to gain weight, what would you be doing? I'm trying to incorporate non-scale goals for 1 month and 60 days. I keep doing goals that are affirmation seeking from others. Could you give examples of non-numerical weight loss goals? I would have some pants and I would measure, like, just, I would do inches. I would do, I would have like clothes to see if they fit different. I would take pictures. One thing you could do is do a 30-minute workout. And then you can take a 1 through 5, do 1 through 4. I always like to do things in groups of even numbers versus odd numbers, because a lot of people will just pick a middle number when it doesn't really mean anything. But if you have a group of even numbers, it's either pretty good or pretty bad, or really good or really bad, right? So it kind of makes you like really evaluate where you're at. You could have certain things, like I could go on a walk and time it and see how long it takes me to walk. You could do something like go up and down the stairs and give yourself a rating on how easy that is. You could also take an inventory of where you're at. Like, here's how I rank myself in different areas. Like, here's how I'm ranking myself right now in my thinking about my body. Here's how I'm ranking myself right now in my thinking about my effort level and following my plan. Like, come up with some things like that. At the end of 60 days, re-rank yourself to see if you've moved the needle on your own personal rankings. You can do something along those lines. I think that would all work. Please give a good example of a model, especially when it comes to taking a break from drinking. A good example, the result would be, like, let's say you're going to not drink for 30 days. So if you want to put the result there, then you're, like, you would have your circumstance of, bottle of wine every night. Like, you could have, like, your thought, your circumstance, if it's like based upon what you have been doing, well, your circumstance could be the next 30 days. And so, your thought could be, well, it could be, I'm taking a break. Your thought could be, 30 days is very doable. It's worth it to try 30 days without alcohol, something along those lines. The feelings would be like, you know, doable, determined, maybe focused or whatever. The action would be, don't drink for 30 days, journal every night about my thoughts around alcohol, stuff like that. Like, do thought down, like a minimum of this many thought downloads. Like, I would probably do one every single day on it, on that one particular topic. Some of the other actions will be sit with discomfort, have a discomfort plan. So, like, you really want to blow out your action line. And then the result would be, hopefully the result is 30 days without alcohol. Give a good example. Oh, wait, I just did that. I'm leaving for a vacation tomorrow. Anxious about going back to old habits. Have a 24-hour plan and assessments with me. Yeah, everybody who's going on vacation, a business trip or anything. One, Cara, I started talking about this in the very beginning. I'm going on vacation, leaving tonight. Listen to the beginning of this call when we're done. The other thing is, there is a whole lesson in No BS specific to vacations and travel and everything. Listen to that lesson. I believe it's the final lesson of module 2 of No BS. There are probably also, if you go to Betsy, you can post some in here if you want to. But if you go to video replays and look for latest recordings, at the top there's a search bar. Type in vacations. I have coached people on vacations and stuff. I would listen to a few of those calls and visualize yourself, like, being nervous, but following your plans anyway. I always follow my plans on vacation. Sometimes I break them, but I always make plans. But most of the time I follow them because I go into vacation telling myself ahead of time, I'm just going to make really good plans and follow them. How do I let go of doomsday mentality and looking over my shoulder for the day that I'll screw up and lose my momentum? I'm doing great planning. Yeah, I would just, this is what I would do, Lisa. I would write down the thoughts that you have, and then I would tell myself, and we don't give these oxygen anymore. Every time you have a thought like that, I would say, and these thoughts do not get oxygen anymore. I'm doing just fine. That is the quickest way. If you keep thinking them and you keep believing them and you keep allowing yourself, like, you just, it's kind of like saying, how do I get my toddler to quit sucking a pacifier? Well, you take it away from them. And when they kick and scream and cry, or when they ask for it, you just say no. That is the same thing with your brain. If you want to, like, stop those thoughts, it's like taking the pacifier away. You just say, like, we're not thinking those things. Stop asking for those thoughts. No, we're doing just fine. It's the active dismissal. How to overcome a motivation plateau. I've lost 49 pounds, and now that I'm coming up on the milestone of 50, I found myself slipping back into old behaviors and not wanting to be uncomfortable. How can I push past this? I still have 50 more to lose. This is not a motivational plateau. You don't need to be motivated. Motivation is created through actions. You're going to need to be willing to feel uncomfortable. You're going to need to tell yourself, 50 pounds is great, but it's not enough. Like, that is the thought that has to change. The thoughts that got you to the first 50 is like, you know, this is great, I'm doing so well, blah, 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 blah. Now we have to kick it up a notch. It's kind of like when you first started, whatever weight you started at, it was like, time to shut it off the pot. I don't want to weigh this anymore. You have to have, like, you really have to borrow back from that same one. It's not like pretending that you haven't done a great job. It's like, I've done a great job, but I hadn't finished. Like, it's like shifting back into that energy of determination and willingness and inviting discomfort in. And here's the thing. The only reason why you're not even going to have to change things that you do. This is one of the other things I would do. It's like when you say, I'm not wanting to be uncomfortable. Like, you need to ask yourself, why am I thinking that eating in a way that stalls me at being overweight is comforting? It's not. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to lose 50 more pounds. And you're obviously overeating, because if you still have 50 pounds to lose, that's still overeating. Your body has 50 more pounds that it needs to lose. So it's like allowing yourself to be like, can I be in that space and not feel bad, but feel aware and feel like, oh, I need to change my perspective. Like, I don't even have to feel bad to lose the next 50. I need to be very aware. I need to generate the energy that boosts that. I'm a June baby and I drive a lot for work. I put snacks on my plan when I'm driving. Do you think that is okay? Should I learn to not have to eat while in the car? If I don't have healthy snacks, I worry I might grab chips and crap when I feel it forget. Won't you try once or twice a week just not having snacks and start there rather than every single day? Like, what you're probably eating for entertainment. You might want to either level up some of your snacks. You might want to level them down. Like, say, like, okay, I can have some snacks, but I'm not going to have as many. Then you could also have, like, there's going to be one day, I'm going to just do one day a week where I don't have snacks, and I'm going to be super focused on that day, so that, like, the likelihood of you overeating is, like, slim to none, because you know you only have to do one day. Get really good at it and see it, like, and evaluate yourself at the end of the day. It's like, was it as bad as I thought it would be? Like, get really good at that, then add another day. You could always do it that way too. And that, my girls, is everything. All right, we got through all the questions. I hope you guys have an amazing day. I will see you tomorrow for the Weekend Motivator. Wish me luck flying tonight. I won't be doing the flying myself. Of course, Southwest will be. My arms won't be tired when I get there. You will all know what kind of a good time Chris and I have. We land at 10:55, and we are notorious for shutting a club down on the first night that we go to Vegas. You'll know by the look on my face in the morning if we went to bed or if these two old folks are still going to kick it. So anyway, I will see you tomorrow. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.